If you ask me to sum up, I would say that Larry and I are both travellers. We travelled from and towards different places and different understandings. They're very different men. And though we tried, I don't believe we ever really liked each other, or ever could. But I'll never forget Larry, and though he may want to forget me, I don't think he ever will. Because we met at a point of change, a moment of self-revelation, you might almost say. We met in France one June on a municipal campsite to the west of Avignon. I arrived first, and then I left again to wander about Provence on my own, going mainly from medieval church to medieval church, looking for direction in alabaster Marys, ebony Christs. During that time, I spoke to no one except shop assistants or cafe attendants. I was testing myself to see if I could keep my own company and not die of tedium or heartbreak. Larry and Marge arrived while I was gone. Marge told me that this was their first holiday for 7 years. Larry kept up a lament for the ritzy hotels he couldn't afford. He didn't understand how best to live in a tent.
Aren't you going for your shower, Larry?
What, Marge?
I thought you were off for your shower.
Yes, I am.
Well, the toilet paper's in the third from left blue wall pocket.
Yes, got it, Marge.
Well, off you go then, dear.
Not the right moment, Marge.
What?
No hurry, really, is there? Not a very convenient moment.
What do you mean? It's not a convenient moment.
Nothing, dear. But I'll just hang on a jiffy.
Well, you know what you said yesterday. Better to get to the showers before 8:30, otherwise you may have to queue.
Look, Marge, I can't go past Jean-Louis' tent while he and Annette are so obviously, you know...
Oh, good heavens, Larry, they're not going to see you. Now, please hurry up, dear, and I can start getting breakfast. And if you could call it at the shop on your way back and get a baguette.
A what?
A baguette. That's what it's called, that loaf we like.
A baguette?
Yes. Now do go, Larry.
OK, Marge. OK. A bag what?
A baguette.
I can't ask for that, Marge.
Of course you can. Une baguette, s'il vous plaît.
How do you know it's une and not un?
Well, I don't, dear. But I'm sure Madame Biederman will understand. Larry, I'm trying to get up and you're in the way.
OK, Marge. I'm off. Here goes.
It's not a high dive contest.
It was, of course, typical. Characteristic, you might say, of Larry to be embarrassed by the sexuality of his neighbours. He was the kind of man who has never been, nor wanted to be, young. But they interested him, Jean-Louis and Annette. First of all, they were French, and Larry had never met any French people before, except one, the proprietor of a restaurant in Bressingham, St. Mary, Norfolk. And secondly, Jean-Louis was a poet. Larry had never, never met a poet, and never may again. Amateur verse makers, yes, perhaps, but not poets. He told me that he had forgotten, until he ran into Jean-Louis, that poets existed.
Oh, dear. We did come for peace, Jean-Louis, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
And we didn't expect dogs. I never gave them a thought. Not dogs.
I don't think I really hear them.
Oh, well, I'm surprised. Perhaps it's to do with age. Bark, bark, bark. Well, I did want a bit of peace for Larry's sake. He works so hard when we're in England.
Does he? Oh,
he works terribly hard. I know I can say this to you, Jean-Louis. I've been worried about him. He hasn't been himself at all. Not just lately. He started having these nightmares.
The sunshine would help him, Marge.
Oh, I hope it will. Do you think it will?
Yes.
Dreadful nightmares, he says.
About what?
Ah, well, that's it, you see. Won't say what they're about. Bottles them up. And I often say you might feel better if you talked about them, Larry. They might go away.
Perhaps he would tell me, Marge.
Oh, no, he wouldn't. Larry hardly ever tells people things. I mean, he wouldn't like me talking to you about this, so don't say a word, will you?
Got the baguette, Marge.
Oh, well done, dear. Coffee's on. It was Oon, wasn't it?
Wouldn't know. Said Oon anyway. Bonjour, Jean-Louis. Had a good night, did you?
Bonjour, Larry.
Wouldn't go to the showers yet if I were you. Dreadful queues.
Oh, you should have gone before 8:30, dear.
Get the chair, shall I, Marge?
Oh, yes, please, dear. Oh, and bring the Nescafe, will you?
Where is the Nescafe, Marge?
In the box marked Stores Essential. Near the Horlicks.
OK. Got it.
Well, I'm going to breakfast now.
Oh, yes, well, bon appétit.
Bon appétit, Marge.
Cheers, Marge.
Larry.
Anything I else? Wonder... Was it?
Well, it's going to be awfully hot today. I can feel it. It's going to be much hotter than yesterday, I think.
If you're going to say you think we ought to have another go at the awning, I'll remind you, Marge, that the idiotic tent rentalists have not supplied us with a centre strut for it. I mean, I'll certainly have a go at it, but with no centre strut...
I was only going to say, I think it's bad for us to eat under a hot sun.
Right. I'll have a go now.
No, I didn't mean now, Larry. I just thought after breakfast you might ask Jean-Louis to give you a hand.
Marge, please get this into your head, will you? I do not ask people, especially foreigners, for a hand.
Well, you couldn't put it up on your own, dear. You tried.
That, Marge... is because the awning is defective. If we had been supplied with a centre strut, I would have had that awning up faster than your mother can say pigsty.
You've been dreaming about them again, haven't you?
About what?
The pigs. That's what your nightmares are about, aren't they?
Water boiling, is it, dear?
No, not quite. They are about the pigs, aren't they?
I don't know how Jean-Louis can drink that strong coffee Annette makes.
If you talk about them, they'd probably go away.
I'd be awake long before this. Sometimes I'd imagine the camper zipped up in their tents, then slowly waking with the sun, setting out their tables and their seersucker tablecloths, and in the case of some of the Belgians and the Dutch, plastic flowers. Larry called me a hillbilly once, and I looked like one by then. Beard wet with dew, clothes beginning to stink. I used to think Peter wouldn't have approved. Heavens, no. Trissy would have said, look at you, dear boy, you're beyond the pale. Yet, in the cafes, they were polite. By the time Marge had set out her table, I'd be ensconced in one, drying off, spreading out my map, feeling the blood beginning to go round.
Jean-Louis, see that Dutchman? Can't control his shuttlecock.
Comment?
That badminton freak just knocked his shuttlecock into Margie's baguette.
You make us laugh, Larry.
Well, do I? Figure of fun, am I? Well, I'm used to that. Younger men taking the piss, if you'll pardon my French.
Your Nescafe's getting cold, Larry.
Can't concentrate, Marge. I mean, it's just not peaceful on this campsite. Dutchman impersonating Bjorn Borg.
Oh, that's tennis, dear.
I know that's tennis, Marjorie. Just figurative. On holiday, I should at least be allowed figures of speech.
I bet it's more peaceful than this in Paris, isn't it, JL?
No, it's very noisy.
Norwich is bloody noisy, isn't it, Marge?
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Larry, not compared to Paris.
You've never been to Paris, girl.
No, I know. I only meant to say that I...
We've never been to Paris. Hardly ever go to London, for that matter. Too expensive.
Paris is expensive.
Time was when we had a bit to spare.
Do drink your coffee, Larry.
But we've paid the penalty. You pay the penalty in Britain today if you stand up and go it alone.
Larry.
Now look at me, Jean-Louis Annette. Where would you say I live?
Please, Larry.
Now, hang on, Marge. I'm not disturbing your petit déjeuner, am I?
No.
Good. Well, you listen to this. Where would you say I lived?
What do you mean?
What kind of house would you say I lived in? Have a guess.
Modern house?
You wouldn't call it modern, no, would you, Marge?
Larry, if you just drink your coffee...
No, it's not modern, Annette. Have another try.
Cottage.
Not far off, is it, Marge? That's to say, we did once live in a cottage, or rather, it was a bit better than a cottage. It was more what you call a farmhouse.
I see.
No, you don't, JL, because we don't live there anymore. We live in a pigsty. Surprised you, didn't it? It surprises everyone. It surprised me, I can tell you. I was proud of my house. Kids loved it, didn't they, Marge? It was a very solid house. Old, but solid. In quite a bad state when we bought it, but little by little we improved it. No one could have wished for a nicer home.
Your coffee will be stone cold, Larry.
What happened to your house then, Larry?
I can't tell them what happened, can I, Marge?
I'd much rather you didn't.
Marge doesn't want me to tell you. She relives it, you see, don't you, dear?
I just don't want to talk about it now. Tell them some other time.
She said I can tell you some other time, and she's probably right, because, well, we hardly know you, do we? I mean, what's a few days? Why don't you tell us a bit more about you, Jean-Louis? What on earth does a poet find to write about these days?
Well...
He writes from the arts.
Left wing, are you?
Well...
Like being a poet, do you?
Yes.
Can't imagine what you write about, though. There don't seem to be any English poets left, do there, Marge? Casualties of the 20th century, I shouldn't wonder.
Oh, I expect there are, Larry. We just haven't heard about them.
Yes, there are. You have some fine poets.
Do we, by Jove? Hear that, Marge? Well.
Are you going to eat some baguette, dear?
Mind you, it's easy money, that, really. Just jotting down a few lines and getting paid for it. Not that you don't need to have talent, I admit, to jot them down properly, but it's an easy life, that, isn't it?
No, it's not easy. Sometimes it's very hard.
Slim volumes, you see. Now, I've always thought, with all due respect, Jean-Louis, that slim volumes are extraordinarily overpriced. I mean, you pay almost as much for a slim volume as you do for a proper book, and what do you get? A few lines here and there, and a lot of blank paper.
You must understand that sometimes a few lines are important.
Well, I'm not saying they're not important to a few, but it's not what you call value for money, is it?
You can't measure by money.
Well, they do in Britain, mate. If you haven't got money, you're nothing. You have to fight tooth and nail to keep your head above water. Tooth and nail.
You can choose not to fight.
Not in Britain, you can't. If you don't fight, you sink, and your family sinks with you.
Britain is like France, and France and Britain are getting more and more like America. It's not different, Larry. If you have capitalism, you have stress and fighting to stay ahead.
Nothing wrong with capitalism, JL. Don't misunderstand me. It's the persecution of the little man I'm talking about. I'm living a century too late. I'm not allowed to get on. But don't tell me you can take away man's urge to get on. It's born in him.
No, it's not born in him. He learns it. He learns to crave the things that money can buy and to compete.
It's there, JL. I mean, even in Russia, where they keep trying to stamp it out.
Intellectual freedom is quite another question, Larry.
Listen, dear, I don't think at breakfast...
Be quiet, Marge. Now, you tell me what you've got in Russia, Jean-Louis, and don't tell me you've got equality.
Larry...
I'll tell you what you've got. You've got concentration camps and nothing in the shops.
Then, if there is nothing in the shops, nobody's fighting for more and more money.
Dignity, you see, Jean-Louis. It all comes down to dignity. Now, if I was a little cog in a dirty, great socialist machine, where is my dignity? You can't find dignity being a cog. Don't tell me you can.
But, Larry...
No, hold on. You see, I know what it is to lose one's dignity. I know what it is to be trampled down by a socialist government hell-bent on exterminating individual enterprise. They pushed me into the muck, but I'm fighting. I'm fighting for Marge and the boys. I'm fighting for my dignity.
Dignity can mean different things.
Not to me.
What does it mean to you?
Well, I do a lot of driving in my job. I'm a salesman now, you see. I never wanted to be a salesman, but at least it's a job, isn't it? I'm working, JL. When I go around to my clients, I hold my head up. I put on a clean shirt, Marge irons my suit, and I can look my clients in the eye. I may live in a pigsty, but I'm the best salesman in the Anglia division, and that's dignity for you.
Larry, I think this kind of political chit-chat's very exhausting at breakfast time.
It's not political, dear. We're talking about dignity.
Yes, I know.
Dignity's not political.
Well, it sounds political to me, and I honestly think you should let Jean-Louis and Annette get on with their breakfast.
No, it's okay, Marge.
Well, that's very tolerant of you, Annette, dear, but Larry's not very certain about any of these political things, are you, Larry?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Marge. Never been more certain, never been more certain in my life.
And it makes him worry, you see, Annette.
Worrying never did anybody any harm. If I hadn't lain awake worrying, where would we be now?
It's not a criticism, dear.
I was getting nearer to the campsite, perhaps another 2 days walking, when I stopped to hear the mass. When Larry asked me to tell him what I'd seen and heard, I wasn't able to describe the mass to him. Not for any lack of words in me, but because I understood the lack of understanding in him. I'm not a religious man, that isn't it. It's simply that to describe an experience, you must first choose your audience. The joy I felt had to do with my invisibility in the church. On that morning of the sung mass, I think I began to understand that, yes, I had been right to give it up. Just admit that I would never be more than adequate in my chosen profession and say, well, I chose it for a while, but now I must forget it absolutely and take another path. Certainties often come to me at foreign places. I'm not alone in this. Something exploded in Larry on the stifling hot night of the municipal ball, and he saw precisely what he had never been able to see ever before. He was helped, of course, by Jean-Louis and Annette and by Marge, and to some extent by what happened to me. But I think all the while he was in France, he was trying to see things which, in his life as a salesman, he only half expected were there.
Got it, Marge.
What?
7522306.
What on earth's that, dear?
It's been bothering me ever since we arrived. I knew it had to mean something.
Well, I wish you wouldn't burst out like that. Gave me a dreadful jump.
I could do with a fag, Marge.
Oh, you said you wouldn't, love. You said if we came on holiday, you'd really try.
What do you think I've been doing, Marge? Trying's not the word. I haven't had a cigarette for 2 days. 2 days!
Well, I think it'd be a great shame to give in now.
Easy for you.
What, dear?
Easy for you to say that.
Well, if it's going to make you irritable.
No, I'm not irritable, Marge. Merely that I've not felt entirely free of worries, Marge. I've not felt as a man should feel on his first holiday for 7 years.
It's those dogs, Larry, isn't it?
Not only my dreams. I've been puzzled by a lot of things.
Never dreamt there'd be dogs.
But I intend to solve them. I intend to find solutions.
Solutions? To what, dear?
Are you going to stop dusting, Marjorie?
Well, I'm only keeping the tent clean.
It's clean enough. Now, take 7522306. I've solved that.
I don't really know what 752506 is,
Larry. 752306.
Well, 306.
The patron, you see, or the gardien, or whatever he calls himself, the bloke in the reception hut.
What about him?
You mean you didn't notice?
Notice what?
752306 on his arm.
What do you mean, Larry?
Tattooed on his arm, 752306. Now, I've been wondering why an elderly bloke like that, who's probably never heard the words heavy metal...
He must have been in a concentration camp.
How did you guess, Marge?
Well, all I know is that's what they did to Jews in concentration camps. They tattooed numbers onto them.
Well, 10 out of 10, Marge. But how could one have guessed? He doesn't look like a Jew.
Well, his name's Biederman, Larry.
How do you know?
Because the woman who serves in the camp shop's Madame Biederman, and that's her husband.
Well done you, Marge. Tell you got top marks in the guides. He's a nervous boat, though, isn't he? Expect he's had a pretty terrible war. Lucky to get out, I say. Lucky not to be buried alive in quicklime.
Oh, don't, Larry.
Lucky not to be gassed.
Larry.
Mind you, now that I know what he is, it strikes me as extremely odd that he'd choose to run a campsite. I mean, you'd honestly think he'd want no more to do with a camp.
Oh, that's not the same, Larry.
I mean, you'd honestly think the very word, camp...
It's a municipal site, dear. It doesn't belong to him.
Unless it's revenge. He could have dreamt of it all these years. The day when he'd be master of a camp.
Oh, don't be stupid, Larry.
I mean, those dogs that yap all night, that could be a dog recording. He could be going around the camp with a tape recorder waking everybody up.
Larry, that is piffle.
Drivel's the word you want, is it, Marge?
Piffling drivel. Now, listen. I think you ought to come out of the sun, dear.
We came here for the sun, Marjorie. We came to get away from grey and damp.
It's no good overdoing it.
Well, you're underdoing it.
I'm taking it gradually.
You're taking it so flaming gradually, Marge, the holiday will be over and you'll still be white as a sheet.
I know what I'm doing.
We've only got 7 more days.
This day is called the Feast of Crispian. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when this day is named and rouse him at the name of Crispian. He that shall live this day and see old age will yearly on the vigil feast his neighbours and say, tomorrow is St. Crispin's day. Then he will strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Crispin's day. Old men forget, yet all shall be forgot, but he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. Oh, rubbish. I never got it. Never right. Heard it somewhere in me how it might be done. I thought I had it once, but I didn't. I had it inside me, but not out there. Useless.
Oh, this is the stuff, Marge. Best thing about this country, if you ask me. The cheapo vino.
There's more to France than wine, Larry.
I'd trade a dozen cases of this for a medieval church. Or rather the other way around, a dozen medieval churches for...
There's a whole heritage, Larry.
Of course there is, dear. We need time to appreciate all that. Why do you think the package tour was invented? Because people are short of time.
The time you've spent just sitting round, we could have done the wine caves and the giant bamboo forest and the Palais de Pape.
If you want to go and look at medieval church, you just feel free, Marge. Take the car. Right now, I'm going to enjoy my first drink of the day, and I would very much like a cigarette. Now, where did you put my fags, dear?
I threw them away.
What?
Well, it seems stupid to keep them when you were trying to give them up.
You don't understand a thing, do you?
I don't, Larry.
You astound me, Marjorie. Do you know that?
The smoking was so bad for you, dear. You were smoking so
much. It's a waste of time explaining anything to you, Marjorie. Child of your mother, that's all you are.
Larry.
Child of your mother.
comfortable ringside seat at other people's circuses. Sitting in your shade there and sigh your little sighs and watch me work and sweat and make a fool of myself. You simply don't understand what it's like to be me.
I've stood by you, Larry. I've seen my hopes disappear.
Your hopes? What about my hopes, eh? What about my thudding hope?
Don't shout, Larry.
Sometimes I feel ashamed of you, Marge. I'm out there day after day on the road practicing my rep's voice in the rearview mirror and knowing, just knowing, that if I don't meet my quota, if I don't bring home my commission... Well, I can tell you, Marjorie, I have to stop the car sometimes. I have to stop the car and have a fag because the weight of the word quota. And I think of you and I think of the boys and what could happen.
What about the boys, then?
What do you mean?
I just don't know why we go on struggling to pay for this boarding school, Larry. I've really begun to believe...
Principle, Marjorie! That's another thing you've never understood. Principle and dignity.
They're only words,
They're not
Larry.
Words. They're the entire basis of my life. And if you haven't understood that by
I
now...
I understand the words, Larry.
They are not words. They're not words. Principle and dignity are not words.
If we took Jimmy and Paul away from that wretched school, we might be able to afford a mortgage on a proper house.
This is not the time or place to discuss that. Now, please tell me in which of the many idiotic little wall pockets you have hidden my wallet. I shall then go and buy myself a packet of cigarettes.
Well, I don't see why you can't discuss it. You're the one who keeps coming out with everything. You're the one who told Jean-Louis about the pigsties.
I'm not discussing it, Marge. Now, please inform me...
I've been thinking since we got away from England about the money we spend on school fees.
The schools are not a question I'm prepared to discuss, Marjorie.
Why ever not?
I'm not going into it.
Well, I don't see why you won't go into it. If you thought about it clearly, you'd see the sense of going into it. All the sacrifices we make to pay for that upper-class school.
Where's my wallet, dear?
And when we go and see Jimmy and Paul, all they seem to care about is being back leg or front half or whatever the wretched rugger positions are, and neither of them has a clue how hard you work to keep them there.
Marjorie!
And it's not as if they can be at Crowbourne forever, is it, Larry? And I often think that school is telling them all the wrong things, and when they leave and start being in the proper world, they'll be quite a bit confused.
I thought I'd made myself clear to you. I promised myself I'd give my boys a good start in life. I never had a good start, and look where I am. And if I can't give Paul and Jimmy a good start in life, where's my dignity, Marge? You just tell me that.
I know that's how you feel, dear. But I think the time's come to re-evaluate, Larry.
Re-evaluate? Look, Marge, just let me go and buy some cigarettes.
You see... I don't want to go back to the pigsties.
They are not pigsties. They're converted pigsties.
Well, I simply won't go back there and watch the years pass.
Marjorie, listen...
I'll go to Mother's. I'll go and stay there until you can see things clearly.
I see things perfectly clearly.
You don't, Larry. You fight all the time. You never let anyone advise you or help you.
I don't need help, thank you.
Well, Jean-Louis says we all need help, but very few of us know how to ask for it, you see. He says the first time we let ourselves ask for help...
He's a poet.
We fight what?
You cannot take at face value one single thing uttered by a poet.
And he says that he and Annette go camping every year to try to renew themselves.
Renew themselves? Honestly, Marjorie.
To try to look at their lives from a different point of view. And I think different points of view are sometimes a good idea, Larry.
Poetic nonsense.
I don't think it is.
And what's all this about you going to your mother's? Don't tell me you're seeing anything clearly, girl, if you're planning to coop yourself up with that bloodless old woman.
Not going back to the pigsties, Larry.
She never believed in me, your mother. She never believed in the pigs. She never once went to look at the bloody pigs. It was your money getting fat in there, but she wasn't interested. She probably knew the crash was coming. She just sat and waited for
it. Oh, Larry.
And then put the blame on me.
She had nothing to do with it.
Don't tell me she couldn't have helped us out with the overdraft. Don't tell me that that selfish old stick-in-sick didn't have cash to spare. She could have saved our home, Marjorie. Your home. But what did she do? Bugger all is what she did. Just sat pretty in a hideous, gigantic bungalow and never offered us a farthing. So don't you go running to her. If you go running back to your mother when I've been working 14 hours a day to take you on this holiday... OK, it's not the Ritz. OK, it's an idiotic tent and you've got a five-mile hike to the nearest toilet. Wine's cheap. And if you just come out into the sun a bit more...
I mean, that'd really be a dirty trick to walk out on me. I don't believe you could do it, Marge. You couldn't do it, could you, girl?
I don't want to go back to the pigsties, Larry. I'd rather spend my life in a tent.
Nothing stopping you, dear. We could erect the old thing at the bottom of the garden.
It's on loan, Larry.
A bit nippy in the winter, though. I mean, okay, on a day like this, even I can see the charm, but with an East Anglian frost on the ground...
I don't know what to do.
Oh, my God, if you're going to cry, that's the last bloody straw.
Oh, I'm sorry, Larry.
Oh, my Lord.
I'll tell you what, Marge. 7522306 told me there's a ball on tonight up at the swimming pool complex. Live band. Haven't looked at my suit since we arrived. Probably been carried off by ants by now, for all I know. But why don't I get it out, eh?
Why don't I get my suit out now and hang it up? And I'll hang up one of your dresses, eh, Marge?
Oh, I don't know, Larry. I don't think I feel much like a ball.
A bald of roses. That's what 7522306 said. How can you resist a bald of roses, Marge?
Well, I don't know what a bald of roses is exactly, dear.
Got it. Got my suit, Marge.
Oh, it's awfully crumpled, Larry.
It'll do a turn, won't it? Won't it?
Oh, I don't know, love.
Dancing in the dark, till the tune ends, we're dancing in the dark. Come on, Marge, dance with
me. I don't feel like dancing, and honestly, I haven't got a suitable dress for a ball.
It's not a performance of Cinderella, Marge. You can wear any kind of dress.
What, my blue-flowered one?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, it's awfully creased, your jacket.
It'll hang out, won't it? I mean, I'd like to wear a suit. If we're going dancing, 7522306 said dress optional. I've never been one for an optional dress.
Larry?
What, dear?
How do you always remember his number?
Head for figures. Always had it. Now, look, Marge, tell me where you hid the toilet roll, will you? Got the beginnings of that pain.
Oh, have you? Oh, dear. Perhaps we should have camped nearer the toilets.
They had, Larry and Marge and Jean-Louis and Annette, chosen the greenest bit of the site. Marge says that the oak trees reminded her of Norfolk. Annette said they reminded her of the countryside around Dijon, where she was born. The oak trees were the only magnificent thing about the campsite. They had permanence on a piece of land where people came and lived and made their mess and then moved on, letting the ants eat up their leavings. I chose to camp near Larry and Marge, not because of their English number plate, but because of the oak trees. They reminded me of Peter's parents' house in Sussex, where we, during the time that Peter and I talked of ourselves as we, had spent some Sundays. Peter, I was trying to forget you, forget it all. Do you remember that Mrs. Edwards and the Manchester Dig saying, "It beats me how actors remember all those words"? And I said, even then, I said, "Remembering isn't difficult, Mrs. Edwards, dear. A harder task is forgetting."
Marge, come here.
Hang on a sec, dear.
We've been invaded, Marge.
What?
Come and look.
What is it, Larry?
Neighbours.
Oh, yes. Tiny little tent, isn't it?
Mm.
Looks as if it came from the army surplus.
Spot on, Marge. Though I've never understood the word surplus with regard to the British Army. You'd think our willfully depleted force de frappe will be hanging on to everything it owns for dear life.
I wonder whose it is.
Spoiling our view, anyway.
No, Carl, that's odd.
Spoiling what? Our uninterrupted view of those hills.
Oh, well, not really, dear.
Oh, my God, Marge.
What?
Someone's crawling out. Pretend we haven't noticed anything. Supper on, is it?
He's coming over to us.
Yes, turn away, dear. We want nothing to do with anyone
he's
looking
smiling,
like that.
He's smiling, Larry, he's smiling.
I couldn't pass seeing the English car without introducing myself.
good heavens! We didn't see you, did we, Marge?
My name is Trist. The French pronounce it triste, meaning sad.
Oh, triste, eh? Well.
I'm Marge. Well, Marjorie, actually, but people only call me that when they don't like me. Or if they're cross.
Well, Marge, I've brought a small offering.
Oh, good Lord! No. We've got plenty of wine, haven't we, Marge?
Selfishness.
Sorry?
I've been journeying on my own. I lost all account of time and all memory of conversation. I wondered if you might spare me a moment or two. Just to hear a voice, you understand. Share my wine.
Well, we've got supper on, haven't we, Marge?
Oh, it's only soup.
Was it only soup?
Well, if you're upset tummy, dear. Please, do sit down. I'll get another chair. We brought three in case there was ever a guest.
Soup's not enough, Marjorie.
You're angry.
What?
The Marjorie in your sentence.
What?
Am I right?
What on earth are you talking about?
Marge just said that no one...
Look, I'm sorry, mate, but we've got plenty of wine and we've got to eat early because of the bowel, so this isn't a convenient moment.
Oh, Larry.
No, I understand. Dreadful intrusion. Please accept my apologies.
Bonsoir, Larry. Bonsoir, Marge.
I'll just slip away.
Oh, no. Please don't go. I don't know. Oh, Larry's thinking of being so unwelcoming. Why don't you get us some glasses, Larry?
Anything you say, dear.
Larry's not feeling very well today, you see, and that makes him a bit grumpy. He's not usually like this.
I'd be the last to intrude, Marge. It's so selfish.
Oh, no, I'm delighted. We haven't met anyone else from England, and you begin to miss it after a while, don't you? The talk.
The talk? Not an admission we want to make, is it?
Well, no man's an island. I mean, I think that's absolutely true.
It's important to test, though, from time to time, to see what can be done in isolation.
Been very far, have you, Mr. Trist?
Trist. Just Trist. It's short for Tristram, which I've come to detest. No, not to the length and breadth of the country, but on my own for quite a while. And the wonders I've seen since I came to France. Did you know how unimaginably beautiful much of France is? Dry River is beautiful here, Marge. Wild flowers that push through the stone.
You a poet too?
I'm sorry?
Talk like a poet. We're surrounded by them, Marge.
No. Not a poet.
Glasses, Marge. What are you then?
What's your name? I don't know your name.
Larry Peacock. Some kind of artist, are you?
No, I'm what you see.
Ah, go on, mate. That's not good enough. Now, we know Jean-Louis is a poet. He wasn't too proud to come out with that.
I'm a vagabond, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, got the uniform right. Don't you do anything then?
Don't pester, Larry.
I'm not pestering, just curious.
Now, let me pour us some wine.
And I abhor secrecy, you see. Secrecy of any kind. And I honestly feel, despite us all being from the UK, that we can't enjoy a drink with you unless your response to our questions is more forthcoming.
What do you do, Larry?
Me? Oh, well, I'm not ashamed to admit what I do. I sell. I make no disguise of the fact that I sell. I'd even go as far as to say that I'm a bloody good salesman.
What do you sell?
Fertiliser.
There's quite a good commission on fertilisers, isn't there, Larry?
Well, not that good, dear. I'd do better in heavy plant. Man with my selling record should have been promoted to HP by now.
Oh, I think Jean-Louis and Annette are coming over.
It's not a fair game, my business, but then what business is? The thing is, you've got to have a game. Everyone has got to have a game, and I don't believe you haven't got a game.
Here are Jean-Louis and Annette, Larry.
Ah, good. Je m'appelle Trist. Pas Trist, n'est-ce pas? Trist.
Bonsoir, Jean-Louis Duval. Mon ami Annette.
Oh, bonsoir, monsieur.
Well, speak English, Jean-Louis.
Okay.
You sit here, Annette.
Oh, no, don't get up.
No, sit here.
Where shall you sit?
I'll wander about.
Oh, don't wander about, Larry.
Oh, have this chair, Larry.
No, you sit down.
Sit here, Larry.
I'm not going to sit next to Mr. Trist until he comes clean. If there's anything that makes me feel uncomfortable, it's a person not coming clean.
Well, you're being very rude, dear.
It's not as if I haven't come clean, Trist.
Well, you haven't come clean, Larry.
Yes, I have.
You haven't mentioned the styes.
For whose sake, Marjorie? Tell me that.
Doesn't matter. I don't call that coming completely clean.
So, if Triss doesn't want to...
Right, I'll tell him about the pigsties.
Don't upset Marge, Larry.
Marge is the one who said I wasn't coming clean.
No, I only said I don't think you should pester...
I'm not pestering. I merely said I felt uncomfortable when a person is so obviously evasive about himself.
Oh, Larry.
I'm an actor. I was an actor.
Not an actor anymore, then?
No.
Give it up, did you?
It gave me up.
That's better, then. Now we know where we are.
The stage was my life. Yet I don't often catch myself thinking about it. Not too often.
Oh, I bet you miss being an actor, Trist.
No, not exactly. Hardest thing is convincing myself it's all right not to belong. I belonged in the theatre, you see. It was like a club or a religion. I had my whole being through belonging. And I used to think that if I can't act anymore, I'll be adrift. Nothing.
Well, you are adrift, old man. Rucksack.
No.
You look adrift to me.
Yes, I know. I look it. I didn't understand it myself for a long time. Not till I came away from England that it was all right not to belong anymore. I thought the leaving would be the end of me. But it wasn't. It was a bit like a beginning. Marge knows what I mean. Do you, Marge?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I sometimes think that I've never really belonged anywhere. I'm washing up, say, and I suddenly find myself thinking, I could go to China. Could go to Russia. I could become someone else.
Wouldn't want to go to Russia, dear. Bugger all in the shops,
oh,
there.
Oh, I don't mean literally, Larry. I just sometimes think I could be ever so different to what I am. I could sort of start again.
That's good. Why not start again?
And never mind me, I suppose.
It's only that when you have started again, it's no use wanting to be back where you were.
It's difficult to end one part of a life.
I wouldn't agree. I mean, anyone can just decide to wander about Europe like a hillbilly.
No. You couldn't, Larry.
Of course I could. Anyone could. What's difficult about it, it's simply that I, unlike Trist, presumably, have an extremely strong sense of responsibility. That may be a dirty word these days, but I put my family first.
Yes, and you couldn't leave them.
Wouldn't want to, would I?
No, nor your job.
My job's important, Jean-Louis. You may find this hard to believe, being a slim volume man, but... the fact that I'm one of the best men in the Anglia Division and that I'm owed a promotion to heavy plant is a source of pride to me. Pride, yes, to me. And 4 years ago, I had nothing.
Larry...
clean out, bankrupt...
Larry, we were talking about Trist.
I'm talking about me. Did you know, Jean-Louis, that to keep the bottom from falling out of my peaks, I mortgaged everything. House, land, everything we owned to the bank. Only to see the bottom pushed out by the men in Brussels monkeying about with farm price levels... if it hadn't been for the Neanderthals in the EEC, I'd still have my peace and my house. I wouldn't be living in a pigsty. I wouldn't be holidaying in a sunny tent. I'd be in the Ritz.
And that would make you feel proud, would it, to be in the Ritz?
Of course it would. Who wouldn't feel proud?
I hate big hotels.
Prefer a tent, do you, Annette?
Yes.
I know what Annette means.
You've never been in the Ritz, Marjorie.
We don't go to big hotels. I don't think we would, even if we could afford them.
Well, you may have to go one day. I mean, JL might get rich and famous on his blank spaces and start touring the capitals of the world, reading bits out.
I won't be rich and famous. I write about the soul, and this is unfashionable. Better to write about politique.
Ah, sod politique.
I write about change from within a man. Change from within a person will change society. Not parties, not religions, I think. I ask that people open themselves up and see what is inside.
Well, cirrhosis of the liver, hiatus, hernias.
The question of belonging, as Trist has said, is important. So many of us are greedy for this belonging. We think to put on a mask, a badge, is enough. We become the badge. We atrophy.
Atrophy? Oh, Margie's mother could tell you a thing or two about atrophying.
I don't know. Perhaps... more people are understanding now that religions and parties cannot do what we hope of them. Not completely. Yet we want to believe that to offer ourselves to some organization is enough. This is me, we say. But this is not true. This is not the whole me, the bit that follows some rule or other. No. So what must I do? I must stop relying on someone else's rules. I must find new ideas, new solutions.
No. Don't know what you all think of that, but to me, rules are highly significant. Take Scandinavia. Scarcely a rule in Scandinavia, and what do they produce there? Porn and tennis players.
Oh, I don't think that's relevant, Larry.
Yes, it is. Rules are the guardians of civilization as we know it.
Civilization as we know it isn't all that wonderful, Larry.
Take the theatre. You've got to follow the director's rules.
That's all right, Larry. Joint endeavour is fine, sometimes marvellous. Only you must understand why you're there. For you.
You're there to earn money. All this philosophical nickety-pickety doesn't help your bank balance one jot.
Larry.
And don't tell me the consequences of being without money. Don't you tell them to me.
I know, Larry. But supposing we taught ourselves to expect less, not more and more material things.
But you're wrong, Larry. You don't merely follow the director's rules.
What, in a play? Of course you do. Why else is he there, then? What's he paid for except to give orders?
The director simply makes a shape.
You've lost me there, Tris.
He holds the shape of the whole production in his mind.
But you've got to fit in with his shape, haven't you? Don't tell me he isn't the chief and you lot are the Indians.
It's not like that.
Of course it's not, Larry.
What the heck do you know about the theatre, Marge? The nearest you ever got to it was the Sound of Music.
Invisibility in the church, so important to keep hold of, keep remembering that sense of relief that I was finally off. No face in the lights, or the thousand eyes moving in a mass like frog spawn, picking me over. Trist. The actor died. His last sword fight in the cathedral mass. And Tris the man began to breathe more easily. Yet as soon as I began to listen to Larry, I knew that a feigned death, a mimed death, is not enough, and that Larry somehow would not be satisfied until there had been a little blood spilt. Not a great deal, just enough to make him understand.
Better get on with the dinner, Marge.
All right, dear.
Dinner. I'd begun to wonder...
Better get our lamp lit, dear. It's getting terribly dark.
What, Trist?
I'd begun to wonder if we might not share a meal, all of us, just tonight. What do you say, Marge? Annette?
We've only got soup, haven't we, Marge?
Well, I could open another tin.
Oh, we have cold meats, olives, tomatoes.
I know that I should resist the temptation of sharing, but after being alone...
Oh, I think sharing's very nice, don't you, Larry?
Okay by me, dear.
Annette?
Oh, yes, fine.
Thank you. All. I'll go and fetch my contribution.
I'll open another tin of soup.
No, hurry, dear. Just light the lamp.
I shall return.
Have a drink on me, Jean-Louis.
Thank you, Larry.
Oddest one I've met in ages.
Sorry?
Him. Trist. You know what I'd like to see him do?
What?
Act.
He doesn't act anymore.
Bet you he never did. Bet you all that was years ago, if it ever happened at all.
Why?
I can smell it.
Smell it?
The unemployed. Failure. I can smell failure.
No.
I've been there. That's why I can smell it. I was a drowned man, J.L. I was waking up at 5 a.m. and thinking, I'm a drowned man. The job saved me. In the nick of time, I can tell you, or I'd have gone under. Junior salesman. Starting from scratch. No salary, everything on a commission basis, and I was competing with lads your age. But it saved me. That job, Saved me.
Driving gives you headaches, though, Larry.
Minor point, Marge.
You do a lot of driving?
Oh, he's always on the road.
Extremely comfortable car they let me have. I expect you noticed my car, didn't you? I'll show you my car tomorrow if you like. We could go for a spin. Change from your little tin cereal packet, eh?
Oh, it's only a Ford Cortina, Jean-Louis.
I don't like cars very much.
Don't like cars? Must be the bell, Marge, warming up.
Hope it doesn't rain, Larry. I can't see any stars like we usually can.
Never rains here, Marge.
Oh, it must rain sometimes.
Does it, Annette? Never rains this time of year this far south.
Not often.
See, Marge?
Oh, look, he's trist.
Body and blood of Christ. With a little camembert thrown in.
Oh. Odd meal this is going to be, eh, Marge?
It'll be fine, dear.
Better put the soup on, then. They'll be starting the bowel soon, by the sound of things, and I want to get in a bit of cabaret first.
Cabaret?
Yep. Trist.
What, dear?
Trist. He's going to be our cabaret.
Are you Trist?
Of course not, Larry.
Oh, you'll do it, Trist, won't you? Just a 2-minute show. No more than a couple of minutes.
Larry, I have
told
you.
2 minutes?
No.
I know you've given it all up. I respect that, but you can't have forgotten it all. If you've been in the theatre for 20 years...
I try to forget.
I mean, we'd all like that, Marge, especially, if you did a piece for
us. No, I can't, Larry.
Well, not right now, mate. When you've had a bit more vino, when you've got the supper going...
Oh, I'll go and do the soup, Larry.
Don't look so worried. I didn't mean now. When the moment takes you was all I meant. Jean-Louis and Annette would love it, wouldn't you?
If Trist doesn't want to, Larry...
Of course he wants to. Marco the great actor to procrastinate a bit and then turn in something really first-rate, eh, Trist?
I don't know.
This wouldn't help Trist, Larry.
Wouldn't harm him either. And it would make Marge's holiday. I mean, I was wrong when I said Marge had only seen The Sound of Music. She used to go on the W.I. Stratford trips at one time before the crash came. She could quote you Cleopatra, bits of Hamlet's mother, and to see you do a bit of a performance, I mean, this would make up for all the things that have gone wrong on this holiday.
What things?
Oh, this and that. Dogs, shuttlecocks in a baguette, that kind of thing.
Soup's on, Larry. You don't have to do it for me, Trist.
For you, Marge. Patient, Marge. I'll do something.
That's our spirit, Trist. Good for you. Give my Marge a treat. Good for you. Now, let's pretend this is an audition. We'll be the judges, like on your eyes pairs dancing competition. 9.7 from the French judges and a massive 9.9 from the British duo.
I have to prepare a little.
Of course you do. Of course you have to prepare. Bring some more wine, Marge. We all need a top up.
I think I'll take the soup off again, dear. It might boil over.
OK, Marge, OK. Just bring the wine.
Tu vas chercher du vin,
chérie? Oui, d'accord.
I'll go and prepare.
Well done, that's what I say. Well done. Oh, well, Annette, this is a lark, eh?
Lark?
Caper. A bit of fun. I mean, I'm beginning to enjoy myself.
Oh, good.
You're a cool one, Annette. You don't say much, do you?
Oh, I've forgotten English a lot.
Shy, are you? It's okay to be shy, Annette, just as long as you're not selling anything. But in my trade, shyness will get you nowhere. Shyness is the kiss of bloody death.
Do you like it?
Shyness? Well, in a young woman like you, it can be most appealing.
No, I mean your trade.
Do I like my trade? It's a trade. Don't breathe a word, Annette. Don't you breathe a word to anyone. But sometimes, just on the odd day, I'd like to tell the Anglia Division, you go and stuff your fertilisers up your watsits. But don't you tell a soul, Annette. That's our little secret, yours and mine. Don't you go telling Marge I said that.
No, I won't.
Have some more wine. Oh. We've got to get in the right spirit for the show, eh?
Here's more wine, Larry.
That's it, girl. Happy, Marge?
Yes, dear. I wonder what Trist's doing.
Getting togged up. He's got to feel the part.
What part?
I don't know. But old for Romeo, isn't he?
I'd like to know what he's going to do.
Got your judging cards ready, Marge?
Oh, I'll give him 10.
You don't know that, Marge. You can't judge till you've seen his performance.
Oh, rubbish, dear. Anyway, here he comes.
Hmm? Oh, my giddy aunt, what's he wearing?
He's got a cloak on.
An army blanket, looks like.
And a sword.
What does he think he is?
Shh, be quiet, Larry.
Oh, my God. Go, Chantris.
this day is called the Feast of Crispian. He that outlives this day and comes safe home will stand a tiptoe when this day is named and rouse him at the name of Crispian. He that shall live this day and see old age will yearly on the vigil feast his neighbors and say, tomorrow is St. Crispin's day. Then he will strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Crispin's day. Old men forget, yet all shall be forgot, but he'll remember with advantages what feats he did that day. Then shall our names, familiar in his mouth as household words, Harry the King, Bedford and Exeter, Warwick and Talbot, Salisbury and Gloucester, be in their flowing cups, freshly remembered. The story shall the good man teach his son, and Crispin Crispian shall ne'er go by from this day to the ending of the world, but we in it shall be remembered. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, for he that today sheds his blood with me shall be my brother, be he ne'er so vile. This day shall gentle his condition, and gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their man was cheap whilst any speaks, that fought with us upon St. Crispin's day.
I'd say 9.8.
Oh, very good, Tris.
Or 9.98. I'd say 9.9, wouldn't you, Marge?
Rubbish. It was rubbish. It took me 20 years to understand that I was rubbish, and I promised myself then, never again, not one line.
Oh, don't take on, mate. That was extremely moving, very moving.
It was rubbish.
Oh, you mustn't say that, Trist. We all thought it was very good.
Don't understand.
It was lovely acting.
There you are, Trist. And my wife's a very good judge, I can tell you. I was absolutely at fault when I said the only theatrical experience she ever had was the sound
of... Shut up, Larry.
What?
You're just making me angry. I don't want to feel angry.
Who said anything out of turn? I gave you 9.9.
Shut up!
Now, look here,
you
Trist.
You shouldn't have pestered me.
Well, you agreed. You said you'd do it for Marge.
I've met dozens of people like you. Dozens. They never leave you alone. They always have to place you and number you and make you conform to their rules.
Now, look here, Trist.
Thousands of you. No wonder the world's dying of its own tedium. Numbers and categories and labels and... petty little prisons, and I mean prisons. You lock everyone up in a cell, Larry, but you shouldn't bloody well meddle with other people's lives because your own life is rubbish. I bet no one wants those poisons you peddle. I bet the land is dying, dying of you.
Now, look here. I honestly have no idea what I've done to get you so hot and bothered, friend. I thought we were just going to have a nice evening all together. Sharing our food. I mean, all of that was your sodding idea.
All right, Larry.
It's not all right.
Here is some wine, please.
I'm not sitting with Larry. I don't want to be anywhere near him or near his suit.
My suit? What's wrong with my suit?
Well, it is a bit crumpled.
Shut up, Marge. Now, just you tell me what is wrong with his suit.
Your suit is your prison, Larry. Don't invite me in, that's all.
Christ almighty, he's gone bananas. This campsite is staked out with lunatics. What's that bread knife doing in your belt, anyway?
That's a sword, Larry.
That's a bread knife, Marjorie. And I wouldn't at all be surprised if he wasn't planning to use it.
Oh, don't be stupid, dear. Why don't you sit down?
Lie down, you mean. Take all these insults like a hush puppy. This is my holiday, Marjorie, my first holiday in 7 years, and I will not take insults to my suit lying down.
You never listen, do you? I don't suppose that you have ever listened in your life. You don't listen and you don't see. You're the deafest, blindest man I've met in all my life.
I'm not standing for this. I'm packing up and getting out of here.
Larry.
I'm moving on.
Sit down, Larry.
Don't you order me about. Don't you start meddling.
There's no
need to. I told you, John Louis, just don't interfere.
I am not interfering, but why don't you stay and listen?
To insults? Listen to insults?
Not insults.
I'm surprised at you, John Louis. Honestly, I am. Never thought I'd make friends with a Frenchman, but I've taken you for a friend. Now I can see I was spot on the first time. Should have trusted my own good sense.
I am your friend, Larry. I'd like to help you.
Help me? That's a good one. I'll say it was you that needed help. Rhymes and blank spaces never got anybody far. Help me, eh? Well, you can help me by getting out of my way so that I can start packing.
I don't want to go, Larry.
You'll do as you're told, Marge.
No, I'm not going.
You're going, Marjorie.
I don't want to.
Suit yourself, dear. You just won't have anywhere to sleep, that's all. In 5 minutes, that tent will be down.
It's going to rain, Larry.
No, it's not. It never rains.
I can feel rain.
Just get out of my way, Marge. I want everything out of that tent.
Why don't you sit down just for a few minutes, Larry? Then you can go if you still want to.
I'm not sitting down to listen to pity. I never have, and I never will.
Not pity.
Pity and offers of help, same thing.
Why can't you accept help?
Because I don't need it, that's why. Particularly from a poet who knows nothing about the real world. You haven't got a clue what it's like to be me.
I can try.
You try, then. You try spending every day of your sodding life in a Ford Cortina. You try driving 100 miles a day, day after day, week after week. You try holding a family together without a proper salary. I tell you, mate, you know sod all about the real world.
Then why don't you tell me?
You wouldn't understand. You wouldn't have a clue. So just let me get the tent down, will you?
It's too late to drive to another campsite, Larry. They shut their gates. You know they do.
We'll sleep in the car.
I don't want to,
We'll sleep
Larry.
In a ditch for all I care.
It's stupid to go. The next place won't be any different.
Yes, it will. Oh, yes, it will.
Oh, let's go tomorrow, Larry.
We're going now, Marjorie. We're going right this minute. And I'm very sorry you don't like my suit, Trist. At least I can afford a suit. You won't catch a good salesman going about in tramp's clothing. And I say good salesman because... What are you all, if not salesmen? You look down on me, you pity me. He's just a salesman, you say. He needs help. Well, what are you? You tell me that. What are you? And you, John Louis, you're salesman.
No, Larry.
Oh, yes, you are. You're selling words, that's all. You're selling little pieces of punctuation and flaming blank spaces. There's no difference between us. I sell to live, you sell to live, so does Trist. He sells a performance.
Larry. Oh.
Don't tell me I'm wrong.
You are wrong. You are using the wrong
words. Words, 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 words. The whole world's gone mad inventing new words. You can't call a dustman a flaming dustman anymore, but that doesn't stop him being a dustman. And you and Trist calling yourself actors and poets and whatnot, you've only got to look at what you do to see that you're salesman.
Oh, you've drunk too much, Larry. I'm going to put the soup on.
Take Trist. He stopped selling his Othellos and his Hamlets, and where is he? He's sleeping in ditches.
You create a performance, Larry. Salesmen sell what other people have created. You could call theatre management salesmen or publishers even, but not the actors or the writers. That is rubbish.
Call it rubbish. Call it what you like. It's the truth, and nobody likes to hear the truth about themselves.
Where is your truth, Larry?
My truth? I know what I am, John Louis. That's my truth. I'm not afraid to say what I am.
OK, you know what you are. You are a salesman.
And I don't deny it, not like some.
But you are not just that, are you? You are not only that. People are more complex than the things they do. So what else are you?
I know what I am. Don't you worry about me.
What are you? Tell us.
I've told you. I know where I am. I've got my dignity and...
Where is it?
Where's what?
This dignity of yours.
Ah, it's a waste of time talking to you. I've got to get on.
No, I want to know where your dignity is. In this suit? Is it? Is this it?
You leave my suit alone.
Not till you tell me. Is this it? Is this it?
Put it down.
Is this your dignity?
In a way, yes. Now, put it down. Just give it to me.
And when you take it off...
Give it to me!
What's underneath when you take it off?
This! This! A bloke on our times. But my pride's okay. Don't worry about that.
Pride in what?
Give my jacket back.
Pride in what?
Give it back! Give it back!
Here you are. It's quite empty, you know.
You spoilt my holiday.
I wanted to give my wife a good time. You spoilt it. You don't care that my Marge hasn't had a holiday for 7 years? You don't care that she's talking to leaving me? You didn't know she was talking to leaving me, did you? Now, I may not be an intellectual. I don't have to be an intellectual to know that if Marge leaves me, I'm done for. All my flaming life, I've done my best. The whole stinking stuck-up world spits on my best. What's underneath, everyone asks. On and on and on. What's going on under your suit, Larry? Why don't you show us what's underneath so we can spit on that too? Well, I'll show you what's underneath. No better than you, Jean-Louis, or you, Trist, but no flaming worse. You spit on me if you like. I can take it. The whole world spits on the small man. Go on. Go on. And what about the rain Marge said she couldn't feel? She's always right, Marjorie. All my life she's been right, and I've been wrong. So let's feel the bloody rain. Come on, rain. Don't let Margie down. Don't let Marge be wrong for once in her sweet life.
Larry, what are you doing?
Can't you see for yourself? I'm offering myself.
Put your trousers back on, Larry.
I'm the one that everyone wants to spit on. They all want to have a go, even you, dear, with your talk of desertion and home to your mother. So here I am, Marjorie. Now's your moment.
Larry, don't do that. Put your knickers on, dear, please.
Come on, Rain. Here I am. Come on, you sodding rain.
Put your clothes on, Larry.
Leave me alone, Margie. I'm waiting for the rain. All it ever does in England, rain through the cracks in the roof, rain down all my walls with a pig shit stink. So rain now, you bastards. Spit on the little man.
Stop it, Larry.
Let go of me, Marjorie.
Come on, please. Please.
Come on, you Sky! Rain for Marge and her mother! Rain for him!
Jean-Louis, help me!
Don't you dare! Don't you dare ask for help! We don't need any help from anyone, you understand? Not from anyone!
Larry, I've heated the soup. Please come and have some.
No. We're off. You were wrong about the rain. You were wrong for once, weren't you? You were wrong. Oh, wrong. So we're going. Now. And you others, just clear off, please. We've got packing to do.
It won't be any different anywhere else.
You just piss off.
Okay.
And take your food. We don't want it. Now, you find the dismantling instructions, please. I'll get everything out of the tent, and you find the dismantling brochure.
I don't know how this happened. We were having a nice time.
Okay, I'll find it myself. In the wall pockets, is it?
What, Larry?
The dismantling instructions. Where are they?
I don't know.
Oh, lost, are they? Thrown away, are they, like every other thing of value? Okay. Well, any fool can dismantle a tent. You just start deflating the airbeds and I'll pack up the rest of this junk and I'll get the tent down.
Larry.
This is no time for crying, Marjorie. You've got to help me. I once meant to know one sodding pull from another. I'll never know.
Oh, it's falling, Larry.
I know it's bloody falling. Look at this stupid thing. When I hired that idiotic thing, I thought, OK, it's not the Ritz, OK, I'll never afford the Ritz, but I'll put that up in a bloody marvellous spot with pines and wildflowers and no smell of pig shit and feel the sun coming through the plastic windows and I'll say to myself, I'm as good as the next bloke. Bought my wife a holiday. What is a bit of peace? Oh, God.
It's all right, Larry. Here's the soup, dear.
Don't really want it, Marge.
I know.
I'm cold, what?
Yes, have the soup, dear.
I'll find a really nice place for the tent. You do see that we've got to be moving on.
Eat the soup, Larry.
I mean, we can't stand still, Marge, not after what happened here tonight. I couldn't stay to be humiliated.
I don't think it was like that, Larry.
Like what?
Well, I don't think humiliation's what it was.
I made a fool of myself. Just let myself go. I haven't a shred of dignity left, not with these people. I mean, they've seen it all, haven't they? Complete strangers and they've seen it all.
I don't think they minded.
Of course they minded. Just feel sorry for me making an idiot of myself. Broke all my own rules. Lost control.
Perhaps it's quite good for you.
Good for me? What's good about it?
Well, having a bit of a let go, just now and then.
You're not leaving me, Marge, are you?
Let's talk about it all some other time.
No. I'd be sunk without you, Marge. Sunk. I know it. And you're right about the stars. We can't go on there. We may have to look at the school situation. I mean, I'm willing, dear, because I do see that Rugger doesn't equip a boy for life. Just as long as you don't desert us, Marge.
okay?
I won't desert you.
I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt.
Oh, hello, Annette, dear.
I just wanted to tell you, Jean-Louis and me, we have been in all the campsites in the region. We know them. All are quite crowded now in the summer, and we think you are best here. This one is the best. I just wanted to tell you.
Oh, thank you, dear. I don't think we'll be going tonight, will we, Larry?
The tent's half down, Marsh.
Well, I dare say we can put it up again.
Oh, yes, we can help, if you like.
Didn't mean what I said about Jean-Louis. He's a first-rate poet, I wouldn't wonder. Or was envied anyone who could write, and never want to underestimate a person, but I think, with a lot of types of people, I think I haven't had much of practice.
On when Larry and Marge left. I began to go south and east into Italy. I also began a diary that night of the Rose Ball, and the diary became a book, and the writer in me is eclipsing the actor rather nicely. Larry and Marge and Jean-Louis and Annette all went to the ball together. They came back at 2 in the morning. 4 unlikely friends drunk together. I didn't go near the ball. I stayed behind like cinders. Except that my Prince Charming has long ridden away. I sometimes have these dreams about Larry. I don't know why on earth I should dream about him, except that the night of the ball was important for us both. And I find myself wondering how he's got on since then.
In Temporary Shelter by Rose Tremaine, Larry was played by Roy Kinnear and Marge by Fiona Walker. Trist was Anthony Newlands, Jean-Louis, Yves Aubert, and Annette Grajina Monvid. The play was directed in Manchester by Kay Patrick.
Some great performances there. Let's hope that Larry's camp experiences have diluted his prejudices and improved his tolerance levels. Next week, we have an engaging and poignant drama by R.E.T. Lam, which begins with the tragic death of young Billy, who's killed in a motorcycle accident. His fiancée, Janie, is too distraught to attend the funeral, although she's not too upset, it seems, to start a romance with Billy's younger brother. Secrets unfold, judgments are made, and prejudices emerge. In My Brother's Keeper, next week at the same time.
This is BBC Radio 4. Extra.
In a quarter of an hour, whilst travelling in disguise, Lyra sets out on her dangerous journey across